have your Bibles, open your Bible to what was read already, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to look at a few things this morning. First Corinthians chapter 2, I think I said chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, if you don't mind, just stand one more time as we read this word. And I'll read it one more time in your hearing. It says, but as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared these things for those who love him. Verse 10, now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, since the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Now God has revealed these things. Thus far, the reading of the Lord's word. On your way to your seat, go ahead and just announce this title to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the secret is out. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Again, we were looking, and all these last few days was a powerful moment in the scriptures, in the reading, in the lessons, and messed me all the way up, and just God's just speaking to us. And I said, Pastor Gloria, I don't know which way we're going to go, but we just are going to follow the leading of the Lord. And so, this theme of a perfect vision from God's perspective. Perfect vision from God's perspective. We know this is 2020, and when you think of 2020, we think of perfect vision. Now, maybe a few of us in here still have 2020. I'm sure some of y'all got some great sight. I'm wearing contacts, so listen, I'm not even hating on anybody. And so you know, but 2020, you're thinking of something focused. You're thinking of good vision. You're thinking of being able to see clearly. And so, but when you think of God's vision, I don't even know what that number might be, but just think, who else has perfect vision other than God? Why would we ever want to do anything other than what God says? Why, when God tells us to go a certain direction, we go the other way? Help me out, somebody. You know why? Why do we not do what God has called us to do? I mean, go back to the Israelites. Here they are, got free from Egypt, and they decided to complain on the way to where God was taking them. He described it. He explained it. He said, this is what it's going to be. And all the way on the journey, they just couldn't help themselves. They complained. They went back. They about to stone Moses. I mean, you know, it was just all these things that were taking place. There comes this point, and I am going to give you just a small review of the conference in some of the things that were shared. And when I say small, trust me, small. I got two things I'm telling you. So as Pastor Steve, my brother, was sharing, one of the things that came out of that thought was that we ought to learn how to rest under the weight of God, as he has us planted until the time we emerge. Sometimes you're going to be weighted down by God, held down in a certain place, but it's only for your good, because God is preparing you for what he wants you to be. Dr. Steele was talking to us yesterday on focusing. So not only do we rest under God, trusting in God, believing that God has planted us for a purpose, but we also need to learn how to focus. The best way to see your destination and how to get there. Use the term, it's on some of you still use Android, it's on your phone, it's called selective focus. And what it does, and you've seen it on all the phones, have some type of form of that, where it will zoom in on a particular object, and everything else, it will blur out. It's those filters that we use. So there's a focus, there's a rest in God. But then today we're going to just share a little bit about this perfect vision from God's perspective. To have this perfect vision from God's perspective, it means we must be in the right position and the right posture. There's a posture and position, I believe, to get God's perspective. And we'll share that in a moment. Perfect vision from God's perspective, or 2020 focus, if you would, is highlighted by several things I'm going to share with you today. Number one, 2020 focus, the highlight, you can highlight it through your senses. Number one, your senses. Now we're going to look at something. I'm going to share something, show something with you. We've read the scripture. We've quoted the scripture. You've heard it. We've shouted on it. Eye has not seen. Neither ear has heard. Neither has it entered in the heart. You know, we shout that scripture and it's wonderful, but I'm going to show you something in the scripture. At Isaiah 64 verse 4. It was really interesting as I was reading it. But it's highlighted through your senses. What do I mean by that? Look at 64 verse 4. It says, "For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard," here we go, "nor perceived by ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what you have prepared for him that waiteth for you." I think y'all missed them. Maybe you saw it. Maybe you didn't. But it said, men have not heard, neither perceived by ear. See, you would have said perceived by sight. Y'all would have just, you know, we just said, oh, that was a typo. You know, God messed up. He did, you know, spell correct. Let me fix that. No, no. It says perceived by ear. And then it goes, neither has the eye seen. So there's something about your senses. You know, people who are blind, I think it was Ray Charles' story, and he was talking about how his senses pick up clicking sounds, and that helped him how to walk. It's almost like a submarine. For those who are in the military or Navy, you know, the submarine picks up sonar by bouncing off of objects that are under the water. And so that's a way of seeing, even though you can't see. I'm saying that if you're going to get God's perspective, it's not always what you see with your eyes. Sometimes you got to see it with your ears. You'll catch it later on, maybe next month. I don't know, but you're going to get it. It's highlighted through our senses. What are you perceiving with your ears? Because a lot of times we dismiss what God is saying because of what we're looking at. And God's saying, stop looking at that situation. I want you to hear what I'm telling you. Your senses. But also, number two, it's highlighted through what we say. We've been decreeing all this week. We've been decreeing and believing. And I believe that we ought to continue. It's highlighted by how we speak to our environment. Sometimes you can say something without saying something. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. We was growing up, we would say stuff by not saying stuff. You knew I was mad because I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to laugh at your jokes. You know, that's how we did. You, my brother, my sister, we'd be there. And if we were upset with each other, we would just, you know, just stop talking. But that was all communication. Sometimes you can sit, you can say something by not saying anything. What am I saying? You know, like the mother in the church who would just, she would just moan. She would pray, but she would just moan. You know, she would just, but she was saying something. She was saying, I know the Lord is going to make a way out of no way. In her moan, she was saying, I know, I'm not even going to let the devil know what I'm praying about, so I'm going to just moan this. But understand, there's power in what we say. You shall have what you say. You, there are things we must speak into the atmosphere because we believe what God is doing in our lives. Your senses, what you say. Also, listen, your solitude. Sometimes it's not, it's sometimes, I think it was Pastor Steve or Dr. Janet, but everybody may not go where you're going. Matter of fact, everybody can't be part of the journey because some folks just might get in your way. It's like the lifeguard. When the lifeguard swims out, there are times that they're trained how to rescue somebody. Sometimes they might have to knock you out to get you on the shore because you may drown them by your swinging and flashing your arms. Sometimes in our journey, there are some people that might have to take a seat, and I'll see you when I see you. Solitude. What am I saying? I'm saying that you're not like everyone else. God designed you with purpose and divine. He designed you with purpose and with divine purpose. He designed you in a way that there are some things that only you can do. Because that's what God designed you for. solitude. There's a period of time as God is preparing you and you're trying to get his perspective. It's like Elijah. He had to go into the mountain. And then what did the Bible say? It said after the earthquake and after the fire and after the wind, in a still small voice. And God spoke to him. You might have to get in solitude to hear God. There's nothing wrong with it, because that might be the best time to hear what God is saying. You want to get his vision. You want to get God's perspective. You want to see what God is seeing. Find yourself some time of solitude. Your senses, what you're saying, but also your surrender. Not by power nor by might, says the Lord. That scripture that they're referring, there's a scripture there, but it's in Zechariah 4:6. Read that when you get some time. But our surrender is not by our power. It's not by our might. But it's by the power of the Lord. It's by what God wants to do. Have you surrendered to God's plan? Or are you still trying to put your ideas in there? You still trying to put your hand on the wheel? Are you surrendering to God, what he wants to do in your life? Surrender. Then I like this. Lord is sharing, in your focus in getting perfect vision, there is something I believe that represents or is highlighted by what we show, what we're showing others. In other words, as you are moving through this journey, there's someone watching your life. There's someone watching whether or not you're going to make it. Just imagine if your situation, if this is your problem, and you're here and you're trying to walk through your problem, somebody's waiting after you and want to see what's going to happen when you get to that problem. Is she going to get through it? Is he going to back up? Is he going to make it to the other side? Let me put it to you in a little more practical terms. So, you know, I'm an adventurer. Whether it's a marathon, I don't need a marathon yet. But you know, I like to do adventures. And so every now and then, I do some things that maybe I should have thought twice about. You know, it's like, okay, how old are you again? You know, and so I went to a men's retreat. And I was talking to my wife. And I said, you know what? I said, since I got an extra day, whatever, I'm gonna try something out. And so it was in the Poconos. And as we went to the retreat place in the Poconos, and, you know, I got to drive myself and all, so I was going to go home, but I had a little extra time. And there was this, I kept driving by, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. It was a zip line place. And I said, oh, zip line. I never got on a zip line. Most people don't say that, you know, in terms of by themselves. Usually you got a group and you try it out. But I said, oh, no, I'm going to try this today. And so I went to the zip line store, and they're telling us the different prices. So it says 45 seconds, whatever, $20. And then I think for another $3, $4, I could do 45 minutes. And I said, that makes sense to me. Why would I pay for 45 seconds when I could do 45 minutes? Of course, I haven't done this before. But if you're going to do it, just go all the way out there. You're going to go, you better go. And there was a family here, a family with their two kids and all of that. And I'm selling the business. I said, you know what? Don't do 45 seconds. Do 45 minutes. Because, you know, it makes sense. All four of you guys. And they said, yeah, we'll do 45 minutes too. And so I get out there, and they go through the training, take you through the course. Here's your harness. You got to do this. And the young man took us through about 15 minutes or so of training. And then they let you go. I mean, you know, there's your training. You can practice if you want on and everything, by the way. Here's the rail. It's about this high from the ground. That's the training. Now, the real course is 50 feet off the ground, up in the trees, by some poles and stuff, and you're on your own. Now, if you skip training, now that'll preach in his own self. Y'all know, you skip training, that's on you. But anyway, so I took the training by a young man who was younger than me, probably half my age. And listen to what he said. Now I went to the trees for this course of zip lining that I've never done until that day. 45 minutes trying to figure out where I'm going. I had a destination to go to. And so I get up there, and the first part was the first zip. You know, you climb, and then there's this wobbly wire. I mean, that was worse than the zip line itself. I'm like, please, what is this about? You know, the ladder swinging. I'm sweating. I said, somebody could have told me. I'm a Terry, so we carry work gloves. And I'm like, I would at least have my work gloves. They said, grab the cable. You know, you got to run up. When you swing across, make sure you run in the air so you can get on the other side so you're not caught in the middle. You know, I'm hearing all this stuff. I know it's a long story. I'm sorry. But so here, now I'm up on the line. I didn't even have the right shirt on. I'm kind of GQ up there, and I'm not sending pictures to my wife. I'm like, yeah, don't I look good, you know? Shirt was wrong. I'm sweating and all this stuff. So now I'm on a zip line, and I'm not on a zip line yet. I'm up to get on the zip line. Here's the part of the showing. And so there's a lady in front of me. Her daughters, her husband, and all of them, they already crossed. And she's in front of me, and she has to get on the zip line to go across to her destination. Y'all know what happened. So she decides that she's not going to go. Did I say it was my first time? I want somebody to go so I can at least see. And not on TV. I see TV, and that's a whole nother story. That's some bad stories on TV. So anyway, so here she is. And I'm like, you know, I want to say, lady, come on, go ahead, lady. You know, I just want her to just go across so I can just see that nothing's going to snap. Now, that's a shame. I would have prayed for her and, you know, try to raise her up. But anyway, so she stands there and she tells the kids, I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I can do it. I said, no, you can do it. I'm sure you can do it. And I'm trying to find all the different things that cause her. You know, I'm thinking, Mama Bear, you know, these are your daughters over there. Don't you want to go to your daughters? She's like, I don't want to go. Can you watch them when you go across? I'm like, wait, what? And so I'm trying to tell her to go. And bottom line was, she asked for the technician, said, how do I get down? And they said, okay. They unhooked her. Now I'm on up next. Literally, just like this, with nothing, just this, and go up 50 more feet. And I see where I got to go. There's another pole over there, and I'm right here. And I got to go across. And the only hope I had just left. She decided not to go. The one chance I had to see what it's going to be like, left. And I had to go based off of a lesson I had from an 18-year-old. I'm doing just what I did, just like this. I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm up here now. I paid for these 45 minutes. And, oh, by the way, this is the first 5 minutes. It's the first 5 minutes. I didn't even get halfway to what I paid for. And so I'm thinking of, how do I do this? And then I thought about the training, and I had the harness right, and, you know, one hand, and make sure you click this, make sure you all clicked on. And this is how you go across. This is the amazing part about it. It said, you're in the harness. It said, to go across, you just have to sit down. Like, you're sitting in the air. Like, and my mind is saying, so you're telling me just to step out, sit down. It might snap, and I might just go straight down. But you're just telling me, sit down, and I'm going to go across. That's the best way to do it. They said, don't do a running start, because, you know, you might go too fast and all stuff. But just sit and go across. So I took a breath and prayer, a couple more prayers and a couple more, you know, faith. I'm like, okay, now, preacher can't be up here talking about faith, and then I'm going to turn around. I said, the devil is a liar. So I got on there, and then I just sat into nothing but began to soar across. And when I started soaring, I said, woo! I was like, yeah, this is it. And the point that came to mind was that there are things we trust God for, but we don't want to take the step. Heard Pastor Steve preaching with the Israelites when the priest had to step in the water. God said, get in the water and stand there. And sometimes we can't get to the next place because we refuse to take the next step. And God is saying, if you take the next step, I'm going to take you all the way. And so when I realized that after the second line, I'm like, oh, I got this. Let's go. Here we go. Next line. Woo! And I'm sliding down. I have my camera on me and I'm about to drop it. But, you know, I was in it. And I'm just saying that sometimes you may not see the person in front of you. They might decide not to go. But at some point, some of us have to be leaders to say, well, if you don't go, I'm going to go because somebody else needs to know. So at some point, I'm going to take Pastor Joyce. We're going to Poconos, and we're going to get on the zip line. And she's not going to want to do it, but guess what? I've been there so I can at least encourage the next person. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying we got to learn how to show someone. Isaiah 43:40 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. God will renew your strength. We got to take a deeper look at what God is doing. Sometimes people don't realize what you had to go through to where you are right now. They don't realize the praying that you had to do. They just saw the huddle. They saw, is she going to come out alive? And you came out on the other side, but they don't realize the times you cried in the midnight hour. They don't realize the things you went through, but here you are because God made a way. Your selective focus zooms in on your destination. I had to deny all the distractions, including the lady that was walking down leaving her kids, that I had to watch the rest of the trip. It blocks out the distractions. There are things around you. There are situations around you. But when you learn how to trust God, your doubts, your distractions, and your detours will not amount to anything based on your destiny that God has for you. You're showing. And then your selection. Knowing that God has called you for a purpose. Your selection, the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, the fact that he decided to die and to take on the form of man that we might live again, you have been selected by God. And this is the great thing about the selection is, it's in your bloodline. You had a transfusion when you accepted Jesus Christ. Do I have a witness in here? What am I trying to say? It's like Prince Harry. I know they're talking about this situation with him and Duchess Meghan. You know, they're leaving. But guess what? No matter what anybody says, it's in his bloodline. I'm trying to tell somebody something that you might have wandered away. You may have stepped away from church. You may have stepped away from God. You may have feel like things aren't working out the way you want them to work out. But guess what? If you accepted Christ as your Savior, it's in your bloodline. And God knows where you are. And he has a way of bringing you back and bringing you back to him and restoring you, restoring your joy, restoring your health. Selection. In other words, we must remember God's perspective. When we take that on, when we take on his perspective, it's the word that was messing us up last couple of days. You must remember you have positional authority. That's glory. We understand. We positional authority. There's this word that came out in the conference and it couldn't leave me. And I just said, Lord, let's look at this word. So this is what I want to do. Just give you one more scripture. It's out of Matthew chapter 17, verse 7 to 18. We got to remember we have positional authority. I'm going to read it from the Message translation. Peterson translation is a different twist on this same scripture, because Jesus says, how long must I put up with you? So I'm going to read it out of the Message, and it says in verse 17 to 18, it says, Jesus said, what a generation, no sense of God, no focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here. He ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. This is passage where they came up and he said, we tried, we asked your disciples, and they couldn't heal our son. And Jesus turned to them and said, now how long do I have to remind you, you have a position of authority? Sitting on a boat, I'm trying to take a nap. You wake me up to tell the storm to be quiet. I'm trying to tell you that you have position authority. You're trying to show us that there's power in what we say. There's power in us because of God who is in us. What things do you need to decree over your life? What things have you allowed to push you around long enough? What is your position of authority? What is it God is calling you to be, calling you to do? We have authority to say to those things. He said to speak to those mountains that they be removed and cast into the sea. He didn't just say speak to a hurdle. He didn't say speak to an anthill. He said speak to a mountain. If anybody's ever drove Pennsylvania Turnpike, that's a mountain. They couldn't move the mountain, so they cut through it. Jesus said, you can talk to the mountain, and the mountain will have to go. I know that just seems like it's just so far. Well, we're in 2020, so catch up. Because God is saying, I got plans for you. There are things that I want to do in your life, and I need you to start speaking with the positional authority that I've given you. God's perspective. God's perspective. It's a wonderful setup. It's a wonderful setup from God when we get God's perspective. God's perspective surrounds you. Think about it. God's perspective is around you. He covers you. He's around you. God's perspective, he's looking at where we are and where we need to go. He knows our destination. And so it surrounds us. God's perspective shows us things that we cannot see from our perspective. Verse 9 to 10 says that. It says the hidden things. Here are these hidden things that God has showed us. He said it's hidden, however, it's been revealed. Before you couldn't see it, but because of who I am. The world may not see it, but because of who God is, we can see the perspective of God. It shows us things we can't see. And it seals our survival. I'm going to show it to you in this way. I was in one of these cars. We had rented a car, and you know, I used to always talk about GPS and how GPS could take you to, and you know, we preach about the MapQuest and all these things. Well, not MapQuest, you know, before MapQuest, after MapQuest, we got the GPS. And remember, I said the TomTom. That's what it was. TomTom would say, you know, turn around, please. You know, she would just she would be so aggravated because we didn't turn around. But then they got Google Map and Wave and all that. And what that does is it just reroutes wherever you are. And so the satellites tell you, okay, since you decided to go back road, we'll show you how to get to the cornfield and all this stuff. And you still get to your destination 3 hours later on a 30-minute trip, you know. But this is the thing. So I was in this car, and it was really interesting, this new thing they have. So when you back up, remember you see, look at the rear view camera? Well, it has another device, another picture. And I know some of you got the fancy cars, probably got it. And on the left side, it shows the top of your car. And I'm thinking, okay, what satellite do they have, FBI got or whatever is going on? But it's the way the mirrors are set up and all the cameras, it somehow gives you a view above your car. So when you're backing up and parking, it helps your parking a whole nother level. If anybody hates parallel parking or just, you know, trying to squeeze in tight space, suddenly, instead of just looking out the back and looking at the rear camera, it gives you a perspective all around your vehicle. I'm trying to go somewhere, y'all. I'm saying God's perspective. He's looking at where we are, and he's saying, if you get my vision, if you see how I'm seeing, you'll find ways not to run into the things you've been running into for the last 20 years. There are some things I have, and when you see it, it surrounds you. It shows you what you cannot see, because I couldn't see what I could see now because of a different perspective. God calls us. God has a plan for our lives. And I want you to know that it not only shows us, his perspective not only shows us what we cannot see before, not only does he surround us, but I said before, he seals our survival. Matthew 17, that same scripture later on in that verse, Jesus then tells the disciples, he says that I got to go. He says, I got to go and I'm going to be killed, but I'm going to come back up again. He says in verse 22, he says it right there. He says, as they were gathering together, they said, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of the men. They will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised up. They were deeply distressed. The only thing I think about that scripture is that I said the disciples missed it. They were distressed because he said, I'm going to be betrayed and I'm going to be killed. And it seemed like they just stopped right there. He said, but on the third day, I'm going to rise up again. I'm just trying to say we have a gospel that has joy and hope to it. You know, sometimes you hear a success stories, you hear about success, but it kind of stops short of whether or not you're getting a paycheck or not. But what we talk about goes beyond what we see on the physical and what we see in this world. What we see, God says, he said, I'm going to go through, but I'm going to come back again. In other words, had he not done it, there would be no celebration. Had he not done it, there would be no walking by faith. Had Jesus not gone to the cross, we couldn't be here talking about walking by faith. Had he not gone through what he's gone through, he showed the disciples how to walk in faith, how to speak to their mountains, how to do it. But then he didn't just stop there. He came back again. Come on, somebody. That's why we're here today, because he didn't die. I'm trying to say that God, the perspective of God and having him in our lives, it seals your survival. I'm just trying to say there was a time when you know you wanted to give up. There was a time when you just felt like nothing was going to work out, but all of a sudden God turned it around. He turned the whole situation around, and you know that you couldn't make it had it not been for God. I'm just trying to say you've been through trials, and your trials caused you to bleed. So, you know, you bled, and you were there, and you were suffering, and some of you even blacked out. You know, you didn't know if you was going to make it. You blacked out and you didn't realize and remember where you were. You didn't realize whether or not there was anybody there. Your friends left you. Your family left you. There was no one there to help you out. It's like you blacked out. But aren't you glad that the joy of the Lord is still your strength? That if you wait on the Lord, he will renew your strength. You bled, you blacked out, but you were brought back. Come on, anybody here that thank God for the comeback, for the bring back? God, I thank you that you didn't leave me where I was. I thank you that you didn't leave me in the place I was. I know I was hard-headed. I know I wanted to go my own way, but God, you made a way for me. You came through on time. You came through when I couldn't see my way. You came through when I thought I couldn't make it. God, just when I was there, when I was crying in the midnight hour, you turned things around. God, when I didn't think I was going to ever be able to sing again, God, you opened up my mouth. God, when I didn't think I'd be able to speak again, God, you gave me words to say. When I thought this is the only job I'd ever have, you promoted me. Come on, somebody. God, you made a way out of no way. I just need somebody to celebrate who God is. I need you to celebrate that God will still make a way, that he still is able, that he, his perspective is the right perspective. Come on, somebody. You have a way. You got to understand. The Bible said the world don't understand what we're talking about. The world don't understand why we shouted, why we praise. But then God said in the Bible, he said, but I showed you the way. In other words, the secret is out, that there is a way. The secret is out, that if you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That no matter what you go through, no matter how many times you tried it, that if you trust God, he'll make a way. You'll have money one day, and you could be broke the next day. But if you have Jesus, you have all you need to start all over again. Do I have a witness in here that God will make a way for you, that God will provide for you, that God will surround you with people that can help you? And if the people don't help you, he'll surround you with faith that you can walk through fire and not be burned, that you can walk in water and God will keep you. Do I have a witness in here that God will make a way out of no way? The secret is out that I can make it. The secret is out that if I just call on Jesus, he'll hear my prayer. No matter how far I go, I have a position of authority, and I got to learn how to speak to those things. So I need you to remember that when you go back home, there's some things you better take authority over. It might be your job. You better take some oil with you, and you better start anointing some cubicles. You better anoint your office door. You might need to go back to your house, and if you got some kids, they might even be in college, you better anoint that little teddy bear that they still got in the corner. And you say, God, wherever she is, I pray and I plead the blood of Jesus that you will make a way. You better go home and you better anoint yourself, anoint and say, God, you have called me to purpose. You put purpose in me. You've given me senses to hear things that no one one else can hear. God, you've told me, God, to see what others don't see. You better anoint yourself and believe that God has a plan. Who am I talking to today? I believe that God is saying, you're like at the zip line and you're afraid to go forward. And all God is saying, if you just sit, I'll take you all the way across. If you just sit, I'll bring you forward. If you just trust me and know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If you know that God has plans for you. If you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, I need somebody to give God praise for about 30 more seconds. Because of the plan he has. Because of what he wants to do in your life. God has a plan for us. God has purpose for us. Isaiah 42 verse 9. It says, everything I prophesied has come true. And now I will prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens. The secret is out. God has plans for us. God wants to share some amazing things with you. We're in a time and in a world where there are those who actually say their religion is none. They're not even saying, they don't even say I'm an atheist. They say I have none. I'm just existing. Because they're blind to the beauty of God. The plan that God has for us. The love that God has for us. To the mercy that God grants us. We walk in authority. The words that come out of your mouth. The next thing you say might be a matter of life and death for someone. What do you need to speak over someone? What situation are you needing to step into? What is it that God has shared with you and showed you? You're not sure if that's the way you want to go. You're not sure if that's God. It was, I mean, that little zip line that I went across, such an eye-opening experience. Because it really, the part of sitting was I was amazed. I couldn't just go in as if I was in church because I had to wake up and land, you know, get on the other side. But I want to just lift my hands, close my eyes, and just keep going. God is saying, your next move, you have to trust me. You have to hang in the middle of nothing and watch me bring you to your destination. But as soon as you step out with authority. I would not have had as much confidence had I not stopped and spent that little bit of time with that young man. He said, if this is clipped on, that's clipped on, you're on your way. That's why we need one another. Iron sharpens iron. You need someone to hold you accountable to life. You need someone that you can just share with. Just say, what do you think about this? Need someone to check on you. We need to check on somebody else. Am I helping anybody? I believe that. Because there is a world out here. This generation today, Lord, have mercy. Because things are so instant, there's no pause to think. There's no pause for reality because it's always, you know, there's people making millions of dollars because they got a YouTube channel on pranks. So there's no reality. It's all a joke. But I believe that God is calling us in these last and evil days to be begin to use what he has put in us to reveal it. If you don't know, just ask God. That's the best thing about it. If you don't know, you don't have wisdom, ask God for wisdom. If you don't know which way to go, ask God to show you. When God shows you, don't go the other way. Keep on stepping. So thank you, Lord. I see it. I'm stepping. Is anybody here and you just have some things that you need to put before God? Come on forward. Come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to do your will. Lord, I want to walk in a position of authority that you called me. What could I share with somebody? Somebody needs to hear a word from me. Someone needs to know. So God, I stretch my hands to you. God, I step into nothing, and I believe you're going to make a way out of no way. Thank you, God, that you put me on the right path.